What happens a lot of times is that that person, when they fall, suddenly people's faith gets shaken, right, and they start to question whether God is real or what those people said was real or all of those things, because of that. And I think, you know, it makes me think of, I don't know who the quote came from, but if our faith has been shaken, it may suggest that our faith has been misplaced. Hello and welcome to the Nate Morris Podcast. This is Pastor Nate Morris, your host. And on this podcast, we like to talk about a lot of the stuff that maybe we don't talk about in church regularly, or the hard issues, the political issues, the doctrinal issues that maybe we don't want to address all the time, just as a place to have some of those hard conversations. I think if we're not talking about it, then how are we learning about it and how are we growing in those areas? And so today is no exception to that rule. We'll be talking about some difficult stuff today, but excited to be able to do that. It's going to be good. And I want to do something though before we get to our content today. The first thing is, if you're new to the podcast and you're just listening for the first time, click the subscribe button in your podcast platform, and it'll download the new one every week to your phone or your media device, whatever it is that you're listening on. Also, if you're blessed by this content, if you could share this on your social media accounts, that would be a blessing, just to get more people in on the listening. And that would be great. We'd love to spread this as far as we can and really just get the info out there. So thanks for your help with that. Today on the podcast, I have Pastor Paul Hammondtree, who is an assistant pastor here at our church. He's just been a huge blessing to have on staff at Mountain Life for the past year. It's been just over a year. And we're talking about some hard stuff today, but I'm going to just give Pastor Paul a welcome to the program. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Nate. It's great to be here.
Glad you are here. And today we're going to be talking about kind of a difficult subject. I mean, we talk about a lot of difficult subjects on this podcast, but today one that can be particularly difficult, and that is when leaders, particularly when Christian leaders fall. You know, if you know anything about the Christian world, you might have heard recently that Ravi Zacharias, who was a well-known and well-respected Christian leader, an apologist, brilliant thinker. He passed away this past year, but it's come to light after his death that he was involved in some really ugly things. And it's been corroborated and kind of proven. Unfortunately, he's not here to give an answer and account for these things, but his organization has done so and has said, yes, that these are credible things that we believe happened. And it's really some nasty stuff that happened with regards to sexual misconduct and treatment of women, and even as high as a rape allegation, and really just ugly, ugly stuff going on. For many of the past several years of his ministry, and obviously this comes as a shock to many people, to myself included, I've been blessed by his thought and his study and his books and all of his wisdom over the years. Whenever this happens, there's definitely like a reaction that we all feel in the Christian community about these types of things. And so I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about what our reaction should be to Christian leaders falling, and that maybe some of the things that set them up for that. And also just kind of how we can avoid that, and what our response should be as we, as believers, process that, or as we interact with those people. Obviously, in Ravi's case, he's passed away. We don't have the chance to interact with him or to give him accountability or grace or anything of the sort. But how do we react and respond to those leaders who have fallen, and how can we be the hands and feet of Jesus even in that? So, Paul, do you have any just kind of general thoughts? It sounds like you've heard about this. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Ravi's ministry. How has his ministry impacted you over the years?
To be honest with you, I'm not real familiar with his ministry, just other than what other people have shared with me. I haven't actually listened to his podcasts or read his books or anything like that. But, know a lot of my well-respected friends who really well-respected him. And so, yeah, just know that his ministry really impacted a lot of people. But completely shocked when I saw it just recently, mm-hmm. the last few days, in that, like you said, his own organization put the investigation together, which I credit them for doing that, having the guts to do that. Really shocking stuff to hear that this guy, and I was just speaking with a pastor friend today about it. And he said that he had just listened to a podcast of his a couple weeks ago about purity and how it blessed him and encouraged him. And then to find out that he was living a life that lacked purity,
right,
but was able to teach so clearly on the need for purity mm-hmm. is just really hard, I think, for most of us to put those two pieces together, to say, how could a guy stand up so strong against something that he was actively involved in his life?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. It's a hard thing. And you know, it's interesting, specifically with Ravi Zacharias, for me, the kind of the shocking thing was he is just not the person that I would have anticipated this to be going on. Even purely from a sexual immorality standpoint, let's say that he had an affair. I wouldn't have expected that in a million years, but much less what has come out in light of these investigations. This is on me. This is judging by appearances, but there's been several pastors recently in the past 6 months that have stepped down because of scandals or affairs or things like that. I think of one of the most recent ones is Pastor Carl Lentz from Hillsong Church in New York City. And honestly, I looked at Carl Lentz and I wasn't all that surprised when I saw that. And that's not disrespect towards him. I would have been, you know, rooting for him not to have that happen. But there was a little bit of an air of just kind of, he was a little bit of a Jesus rock star, I guess I'll put it that way. Okay. Right. And that's not meant to be a judgment on him. I actually have great respect for a couple other Jesus rock stars, but just looking at him, it's like, okay, you know, like, and he's set himself up in a way that that could easily happen. And I could see that happening. Right. But with Ravi, it was something that you look at him and he's an older Indian man, who dresses in a suit and acts incredibly respectably, right. Is the picture of decorum. I mean, he could be an ambassador or a president or something like that. Right. If you ever hear him speak, and then you hear that this is what's going on behind the scenes, and it's a shocking thing. And, you know, I think it's interesting when this happens, whether it's with a pastor that's like a rock star, you know, pastor or a ministry leader Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. this last year, you hear about these things. And the reality is we all feel shocked by that, but I don't actually think we should feel shocked by that. What do you think, Paul?
Well, to me, I look at like, okay, what are the things that are in common in these different situations? And, something that I see in common, we see within our own Calvary Chapel movement, we've seen a number of guys fall like this, but a lot of times what seems to take place is that there is a lot of success, from a worldly standpoint, which lends itself to pride that then creates within us this idea that we can get away with stuff, that we're a little different. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You mentioned, as you were introducing this, set themselves up for this situation. And I think that's a big part of it too, is how guys insulate themselves from other people.
Yeah.
And accountability or just allowing other people to view their life, to see their life, where they have like this ability to have two different lives because they insulate themselves. And looking into the Ravi Zacharias account, he definitely did that. He created insulation in his life where he had opportunity to do some of these wicked things that he was doing. And I think that's part of it as well. And then the other thing too, that really hit me with the Ravi Zacharias thing, something that I thought of right away is, how do we help create this problem for this person by lifting them up and causing, you know, I heard it. I've never been able to find this quote, but I heard that Tim Keller once said that, people who have pastors that are only like on the internet that they listen to or podcasts or whatever, but they don't have an actual in-person pastor, that he likened it to spiritual pornography, that it's like, it's this fake thing that you've set up. And I think a lot of times in today's world that a lot of people are doing that. They're actually creating an opportunity for that person to have this insulated life by worshiping them from afar and saying, oh, this is my pastor. And it's like, well, when was the last time you had lunch with them? It's right. Like they don't know them at all.
Hey, thanks for listening in today. I hope you are enjoying the podcast. I want to just ask you to do a couple things. One, if you're enjoying this, could you rate us on your podcast platform? Follow it, share it with your friends. Also, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Would love to catch up with you. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at nate@mountainlife.church, nate@mountainlife.church. So with that, we're going to get back to our program here.
And I think it gives the enemy, gives Satan an opportunity to create a situation where he can hurt a lot of people by doing that. And so that was something that I thought of with the Ravi Zacharias. It's like, man, we really need to be careful not to really worship spiritual leaders in our life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a word that I think that I think is important for us to understand. Cause I think many people would say, well, I don't worship this person. I don't, you know, whatever, but we do set people up on another level than ourselves often. And there's a pedestal that people are put on. And part of that's because there is a higher expectation for those who are in leadership. There's a biblically higher expectation, but I think that we take it to another level. And I think for Ravi, the interesting thing about that, I read the report as well, is that he actually even gave the appearances of accountability in his life. He traveled with a male staff member at all times when he traveled that would travel with him. And yet he still was able to kind of create some of these places in his schedule and in his time that he was able to go and do things that were horrific and totally inappropriate. And so I think there's a couple things that it says to me. I mean, I think that our reaction when we hear of something bad like this happening is like, well, we need better safeguards. We need better protections. And I don't disagree with that. I think that, you know, we need accountability. We need those things, but it's almost a law approach to sin rather than the grace approach to sin, which I'm not talking about grace in terms of forgiveness. I'm talking about grace in terms of freedom from sin and empowerment to overcome sin in our life. That's a different aspect of grace we don't always talk about. I'm not going to get too far into that today, but the reality is that the more, you know, I there's some people that I know in my life that have some incredibly hard line boundaries. And this isn't even talking about like sexual boundaries, this is other stuff. And I think about these boundaries and I'm like, you're just setting yourself up to fail with that, because the firmer and the harder the boundary, the more your sin nature wants to go against that. And that's what has happened since the beginning of time, right? We have the rule, don't eat the apple, you know, don't touch the fruit. What do we want to do? We want to go touch the fruit. That's our sin nature. Now, of course, there are boundaries, but our boundaries and respecting those boundaries should come out of our love relationship for Jesus Christ, not because we fear punishment or we fear that we're going to lose our jobs or we fear retribution or whatever that might be. And I think that that was probably what happened with Ravi. He's like, well, I've got to have these boundaries. I've got to have these things set up so that people see that I'm not risking something or causing, you know, problems or whatever it is. And really the real problem goes back to what you said before about how we prop people up. And I think I just knowing myself as a pastor, I've been a lead pastor for 11 years now. You were a senior pastor, lead pastor for 15 years. And it's a really lonely path to be in leadership. It's a lonely place. You don't feel like you can open up to people, just generally speaking. I think it's a hard thing where you don't feel like like people will accept you, or that they'll, you feel like if you struggle with something that suddenly you've disqualified yourself, even from a basic level of like, oh, I had this thought or I did that thing. And the problem is, really, I believe that we have created a culture where leaders feel like they have to be perfect. And the minute they miss perfect, and I'm not talking about going and having an affair, I'm talking about missing perfect, right? Then they have to cover it up. And once you cover it up, then you start to slip into something further, mm-hmm. to something further.
Yeah. When I was a lead pastor, I had a guy in our church tell me that, like, I used to often tell everybody I had no idea what I was doing. I was a lead pastor.
Yeah.
But Jesus did know what he was doing, and I was just trying to follow Jesus and lead according to that. And I had a guy who really called me on the carpet about that and said that I shouldn't be saying that publicly because people needed to have confidence in me as their leader. And I told him, I said, I don't want them to have confidence in me as their leader. Yeah. I want them to have confidence in Jesus because I'm going to fail them. And I really don't. And I'm just being honest. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to follow what God's telling me to do.
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, people, it's not always just the leader, but I think, you know, a lot, it's easy to just like point fingers and go, that guy was a bad guy.
Right.
But, you know, I think we need to look at ourselves a lot of times and say, well, are we actually creating this because we want somebody who's perfect that we can follow, rather than just saying, no, I follow Jesus and I appreciate Ravi Zacharias's words, you know? And so that I think that is part of the problem with that situation. And, you know, I think about Paul, and like the Apostle Paul, he understood, you know, I could share a lot of good stuff with everybody and everybody gets saved, but I could miss out on the prize. And he talked about how he buffeted his body so that he, you know, disciplined himself so that he wouldn't miss out on the prize, that he wouldn't share this message with everybody, they'd receive it and then he'd miss out on it. And so I think we do have a responsibility for ourselves to discipline ourselves in such a way that we're not wandering off and doing things. But I like what you said about the legalism versus the grace. And it made me think of Adam and Eve in the garden, where Adam was told by God, if you look at that story, he was told by God that he shouldn't eat of the tree. But then when Eve has that encounter with the serpent, she says that we're not supposed to eat or even touch the tree. But God never said that. And so I've heard it speculated before that possibly Adam added that rule.
Okay.
So because he didn't want Eve to, you know, he really wanted her to stay away from it. So he added that rule, but it also gave opportunity for Satan to tell kind of like a lie, a half truth or whatever, you know, in there. And that's where I think sometimes we make up rules for ourselves that God hasn't put on us. And we actually give the enemy opportunity to lie to us and about things and get us to do things that we may not do if we just followed what God is speaking to us.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I think the just that on that line, it's like really our motivation for obedience to the Lord, as a Christian, it has to be because of his love for us, you know, and it has to be because he's called us to it, not because we fear losing something or we fear, you know. And I think that's a challenge for people, especially for pastors, it's, or leaders or ministry leaders. It's, they are held to a higher standard. And in saying this, this is not excusing anything that Ravi did or any pastor that falls into this type of thing does. Absolutely not. There is a real standard that's there, and he disqualified himself and he hurt countless people as a result of that. There's significant ramifications to that. But I think that the thing that happens is that they probably, a lot of them, they slip up a little bit and they fear, maybe it's a slip into a lustful thought or a slip into looking at pornography one time or whatever it is. And then they don't feel like they can tell somebody because they feel like they're going to lose their job for that slip up. And then they go and they cover that up, and then it gets worse and then it gets worse and then it gets worse. And that's the downward spiral of sin and shame, right? You sin, and so you feel shamed, and so you need an outlet, and so you go sin again. And you know, this is the spiral that happens. It's we sin, we feel shame because of that, that the enemy comes in and makes you feel any even worse and says, look what a dirty, rotten sinner you are. I can't believe you would do that. You'd never get anything right. You know, God can't love you. And then you feel bad about yourself and then you need an outlet.
Exactly.
And then what's your outlet going to be? Well, you're not turning to God because you feel like he's rejected you. You turn back to your sin. And then it just spirals out of control. And I think that's probably what happens in a lot of these instances is that there, it's not only that there's not accountability, that there's not an atmosphere of being real about the fact that we're people and we all have struggles and we all have stuff. And the more we bring that stuff out into the light, the more we have the opportunity to receive healing in those areas, right? And I think that's where bringing who we are into the light is such a key thing, right? Like walking in the light as he is in the light. And that's when it says, you know, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and washes us clean. But it's when we cover it up that it grows and it gets bigger and it gets worse. And so I do think that there's certainly a part where the church as a whole, and we're all part of the church, right? The leaders as well, creates an atmosphere that sets leaders up to fall and to fail. Our culture obviously does the same thing, right? That's kind of what our culture is where we're at right now. But then I think there's also, on the flip side of that, there is the response to that. How do we respond when that happens? You know, I've seen, I think of the whole situation with Mark Driscoll that happened several years ago. And he was the pastor of Mars Hill Church out of Seattle. It was like a 20,000 member church with multiple campuses. They were one of the first churches to do that. And just a powerful, like big organization, right? And he didn't fall into sexual sin. It actually was something totally different in that instance. It was basically they claimed spiritual abuse and poor leadership and bad attitudes and yelling at people and things that were just inappropriate in a different sense. And it kind of unraveled the whole organization. And you know, an organization, take it or leave it, an organization isn't the church, right? The church is the body of Christ. It's the people of God. If the church that you and I both serve at unravels as an organization, the body of Christ is still here, right? But the sad thing in that situation to me was there rose up an army to condemn, but there wasn't any sort of, they condemned the man. And then the thing was so built on the man that the whole thing fell apart. And suddenly that church of 20,000 people didn't exist anymore. It was just gone. And that's not the way that the church is supposed to work from the beginning or on the backside of when somebody is caught or found in sin. There's a process of calling them to repentance, right? And then to restoration. Yeah. Now, not that, I mean, in Mark's situation, maybe he was far enough off base that he needed to be removed from ministry, never to return again, but restoration to the body, right? And it looks like, you know, in his life now, it seems like God has moved and he's actually pastoring another church and things seem healthy there. And I think he's learned a lot, but I think that that's something that's missing a lot of times. What do you think?
Yeah. So I served in a church where, the senior pastor fell in sin. And the response of the church body was, I'll be honest. It was just disgusting. And it broke my heart. And, like I was told, by the leadership that I wasn't even allowed to talk to this man who was a good friend of mine who did something just, it was just, totally out of character. And they, you know, you hear the term, shoot their wounded. And right. That's exactly what happened in the situation. And, it was really sad and it was really heartbreaking, but I think you see situations like that. And what happens is that then leaders, like you were saying earlier, they say, well, what I need to do is well insulate my sin so that nobody ever finds out about it because this is how it's handled when it is found out. And,
right.
And I think, you know, and it's not, like you said, it's not to excuse sin by any means, but, the way that it's handled is really important. Now, I have also had personal friends who have been pastoring churches and have experienced the same situation, as a similar situation as Mark Driscoll, where it was found out that they were just hurting people through their leadership style. It was dealt with, it was brought to the surface, but there was a desire to see healing in the person and restoration in their ministry. And these situations have turned out really well. And the person is still in ministry, and the, you know, there's a healing process that took place, and the churches are doing well.
Thanks for tuning in today. We're going to pause right there for this week and pick back up this conversation with Pastor Paul Hammontree next week. So tune in, download the podcast as soon as it comes out next week, and we will pick the conversation back up. In the meantime, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on your podcasting platform. Also, you can follow me on Facebook or Instagram at NateMorris1, or you can find my website at PastorNate, that's PastorN8.com. Would love to connect with you through there. So have a great day. God bless.